You're tuned in to RBLR, the home of Tampa Bay's Rebeller Sports.
4 seconds left.
Everybody, and welcome back to RBLR Lightning. As always, my name is Dave Ricker. Alongside me with Joe Zandicaro, it's Matt Gannon. Guys, welcome back here to another episode of RBLR Lightning. The regular season is here. Preseason is officially over. Thursday is game number one for the Tampa Bay Lightning. We have opening night rosters. We have so much to talk about. All the craziness of the preseason. Super excited to get into it all with you here. And thank you, everybody, joining us live today. Happy to have you guys with this conversation. Don't forget, you can drop your comments down below. But first and foremost, Joe, Matt, how are you guys doing today?
This day couldn't come fast enough after the games that we've seen. I've been holding in this kind of angst, I feel like, ever since Thursday. So I am definitely ready and excited to get this show going.
Yeah, for sure. The most exciting show that I've been a part of in quite some time, at least, you know, the anticipation wise, first time in a while where I want to talk more about the Lightning than like the Bucks. Like, who wants to talk about a preseason game? It's really not a whole lot. Oh, we've got a whole lot for you. So I'm excited, too.
There was definitely some craziness in the preseason. Let's start there, guys, with maybe a little bit of bad news. Saying it like that, but with the craziness in the Lightning versus Panthers games, which if you miss those, the Battle of Florida is clearly back. The hatred for these two teams is alive and well. Let's just put it that way. So I'm going to run through all the information we just got. We just found out another suspension literally right before we went live here. But I will run through these suspensions, and then we'll give our thoughts on these guys here momentarily. So not only were there suspensions, there were also a couple of fines. I will note, too, as well, for the Florida Panthers, A.J. Greer, he was fined $2,213 for his two punches to Brandon Hagel, which was a big starting point for all of the fights. It did carry back into last year as well, but that was what happened this year. And then for the Lightning, Roman Schmidt, he was fined $2,000 and change for his cross check to Carter Verhaeghe. Gage Gonsalves, he was fined $3,000, just over $3,000 for his cross check against Evan Rodriguez. And then you also had two suspensions for the Lightning. The first one is going to be, let me pull it up right here. Scott Cerberian, he was suspended 4 games for his hit on Ekblad, which was happened in the last preseason game in Florida. And then J.J. Moser, which is probably the biggest one of all these guys because Moser is on the opening night roster. He has been suspended for 2 games for his boarding hit. So lots of fines, lots of suspensions here. The biggest one, in my opinion, at least, is the J.J. Moser one. That's after all the fallout between the Lightning and Panthers and the Battle of Florida getting well underway in the preseason.
I just want to touch on what a $2,000 fine is. These hockey sticks cost about $400 a piece. So that's 5 hockey sticks worth of fine for them. Kucherov goes through 3 hockey sticks in the course of a game.
I spent $2,000 over the weekend. Like, it's nothing. I don't make, you know, 1/100th of what these hockey players do. Like,
you over there subtle bragging?
No, I'm not happy about it. It's nothing. It's really nothing. $2,300 is nothing to these guys. And wasn't it like the max allowable too for that yes, certain instance for A.J. Greer or all of them?
All these fines were the maximum allowable under the CBA.
Yes, I mean, those are set rates, but the fact that there's not an associated suspension when really, you know, we have a guy that got suspended. What'd you say the number was for 4 games?
Four games and 2 games.
For what essentially was, I feel like, the, you know, pretty much the same thing, and they just got the fine. And, oh, there's so many different aspects to this that just are insane, are just crazy.
Well, should we start? Should we dive into it? Because I know we both have a lot to say. I don't know about you, Jake, but like we've just been blowing the chat. Like again, we've been excited to do this show for a while.
Yeah, well, let's start with those preseason games, with the battle against Florida, because those were the biggest ones. Those are what everybody's talking about right now, and the Lightning and the Panthers. And, of course, if you missed it, the Lightning had, what, six players left on the bench in the final period of that game. There were more players in the Lightning penalty boxes at times. So, again, a little bit of history. Of course, you had some of the – this started last time the Lightning played the Panthers in the postseason. Hagel got hurt. He was out of the series on a concussion. I believe it was Hagel who also made a hit on Ekblad last year, and then the Panthers responded.
It was Barkov. It was Barkov, and let's start with that since, you know, let's talk about that hit. That check was about 4 inches away from being a really good hit, and the difference being that Barkov just barely hadn't touched the puck. It was next to him. He just hadn't touched it from the angle that Hagel was for that hit. It's very possible that he couldn't even see at all that he didn't touch the puck, and he just went in for a massive hit. Had he touched it, nothing would have happened at all, but he didn't. Hagel hit him really hard, and it was an interference. Barkov went out for the rest of that game. He did return the next game, but at that point, he had been injured to where he didn't finish the game. And the Department of Player Safety evaluated it. It was an injury that was a result of a penalty, essentially. Or is it, yeah, do you phrase that the other way around? Either way, he did something that was penalized, and the result was an injury. So that's why he got the one-game suspension for Hagel. As soon as Hagel gets back on the ice, though, that's when Ekblad did a really targeted dirty hit. It wasn't like the Hagel one where it was just an opportunity to hit somebody really hard and clean and it turned out bad. This was specifically targeting, trying to hurt somebody. Ekblad took him out for the rest of the series with a concussion, got a couple of games himself, but in the end.
But they didn't even eject him from that game.
Yeah.
And he scored the game winning or game tying goal.
Yep. Shouldn't have even been on the ice. And in the end, you know, they got more than their payback for, you know, Hagel's hit, which again was literally like 4 inches from being completely clean.
It was non-predatory. Like, yes, there's hits that are unfortunate. And again, I don't think it should have been anything more than a 5 minute, and that's stretching it. Like, it shouldn't have been an ejection and a suspension. It wasn't predatory like the Matt Tkachuk hit on Jake Gensel in game 4 or whatever it was last year. It wasn't predatory and premeditated like Aaron Ekblad's shiv to Brandon Hagel's head. It just doesn't compute. Non-predatory. Again, unfortunate result, but I wish Panthers fans could see that. I wish the players could see that. It was an accident. Like, was it a big hit?
Too stupid to understand that.
Absolutely. Like, I can take my bias away. I can take my rose-tinted glasses away. It was non-predatory. And the retaliation from the fans, the kill Hagel signs actually brought into the arena, the retaliation from the players, like, I really don't get it. I don't know where it starts with either of them.
I mean, we can get into the fans in a bit. I wrote a little bit of a rant on them after Thursday's game and modified it a bit after the other. That just had to kind of put my thoughts and feelings on the paper to be able to set them aside for a few. But I want to talk about the suspension for a moment here, especially that one. And this is something that I think that has actually, you know, with all the fighting that happened in Saturday's game, there is a united sort of front from all NHL fans that don't reside in South Florida to kind of rally around what the Lightning did. And I mean, I know there's going to be different points of view in terms of if it's right or wrong, but what ended up happening was that was a message being sent. And it looks like that message was sent to more than just the Panthers with what the Lightning did, with who they brought up, trying to stir things up. It was a message that was sent to the whole league and received by fans, and there's been a lot of support in the hockey community. But the reason why everyone was pissed off at the Panthers, I think, actually stems back to 2011. Yeah. This really goes back literally that far. Actually, let's go to November of 2010. And this has to do with Colin Campbell, who at the time was the vice president of player safety. So he's in charge of player safety. And his son was playing on the time. Let me see. I'm not
the
sure.
Bruins.
He was not on the Bruins yet, but he was traded to the Bruins before the trade deadline.
Chicago?
He was with the... Maybe got traded...
I know in 2011 he was on the Bruins Cup winning team, and there was a...
Yeah, he was on the Bruins. All right. Well, at any rate, there was an incident where basically Colin Campbell had threatened to dismiss a referee based on something from that happened on with the Bruins and with involving his son. So he already had that nepotism sort of going, where you know the son of the person in charge of player safety. Fast forward by a few months, there was a bit of a scandal, but go to the Lightning playing the Bruins. It was a conference final, game 7. The most penalized team in the league for that season was the Boston Bruins, playing against the Tampa Bay Lightning, who had the best power play, I believe, in the league at that time. There was a total of 0 penalties called, which gave a tremendous advantage to the Bruins, because it allowed them to play a much dirtier style of hockey. And part of that protection could be thought of because of Colin Campbell having his son on that Bruins team. So there was quite a bit of controversy regarding the way that team was treated. Fast forward to today, the GM of the Panthers is...
Anybody? Bill Zito, but...
The GM?
Greg Campbell is the assistant GM.
The assistant GM. I apologize. Mm-hmm. The assistant GM is Greg Campbell, Colin Campbell's son, who is still, he's the director of hockey operations. He's already demonstrated the fact that he's got bias towards his son's teams. And look at the suspensions and what's been going on with the Panthers. Everyone in the league that's a fan is pissed off with the way they've been able to just steamroll teams and play dirty. And this is the result, man.
Yeah, I don't agree. Like, as we get deeper and deeper into Gregory Campbell's position as an executive in the on an NHL team, and then Colin Campbell's position as an executive in the league front office, it doesn't make sense to me. I mean, Tom Brady's not allowed to call games for the Raiders, and he's a minority owner now. So why are you allowed to have any sort of bias or control over the outcome of players' fates and how games are officiated? Like, he oversees everything that comes to the game of hockey. It's not Gary Bettman or Bill Daly who oversee everything when it comes to expansion and everything. No, his eyes are laser focused on the hockey, the play, the reffing, everything, specifically the reffing. Again, if Tom Brady's not allowed to call games for the team that he owns, just to avoid any kind of, you know, conflict of interest or bias or anything, I don't know why you're allowed to have, you know, a son in a front office or something like that. Or a father as an executive position in the league front office. It doesn't make any sense to me. And it's becoming clearer and clearer and clearer that there's some sort of collusion. And I don't want to go, you know, super conspiracy mode, but I mean, it's not just Lightning fans talking about this. Of course, you'll have your Edmonton fans who are still salty about the past 2 finals and 29 other teams. Like, everyone is upset. Everyone is fed up. It's hard.
Just look at these 2 last games.
Yeah, it is hard when the Lightning are the good guys in a scenario. That hasn't happened in years because there is a new bad kid on the street, and this kid is bad, and everyone's starting to wake up to it. And I'm glad people are starting to notice. So,
I mean, let's look at one of the hits specifically with Verhaeghe. If you don't notice that is targeted and looking to hurt somebody, the way that he launched himself at Gergensen's head, you know, to board him or check from behind, however you want. I mean, that wasn't something that was just a normal play. That was trying to put as much force as he could into that hit to.
And Gergensen is injured now.
To do some damage, and nothing came of it.
It's the same exact play as the Moser play, is it not? And I'm not going
to
try and
say... Honestly, I think the Moser play isn't even close to as bad, because the guy turned back. He had an opportunity to let up, but he decided not to, where you could almost give a charge to Verhaeghe, because he went the entire ice with the intent of lighting this guy up as hard as possible, and it resulted in an injury.
And to be fair, let's call him the exact same. Why isn't Verhaeghe getting two games? Nobody's got an answer. Colin, I mean, I've got my answer.
Colin Campbell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's there's clearly something that's just not right with player safety, and this has been an issue for a while now. Like Verhaeghe should have absolutely been suspended. His hit was basically the same to me in my eyes as Moser. So if Moser is going to get two games, why is Verhaeghe not getting two games? He should have been suspended. I think Greer should have been suspended for his sucker punches to Hagel after the whistle and all that. There's got to be, again, the consistency that this has been an argument for a long time against player safety, is that it feels like they spin a wheel more than actually having standards. Now, listen, I'll say this. I do not have a problem with the suspensions that they handed out to Lightning players. I think Moser should have been suspended for his hit. I think it was a bad, stupid hit. Was four games a little much for the one against Ekblad? Maybe you can get into that. But again, I do not have a problem with the suspensions to the Lightning. I actually really didn't like what the Lightning did in that game. I thought they played just dirty and stooped to the Panthers level, but we'll get into that later. But as you guys have pointed out, if you're going to suspend those Lightning guys, how are the Panthers guys not also getting suspended? That's where the issue is. If you suspended Verhaeghe and Greer, I got nothing to say. That's how it should be handled. Both guys should be suspended. There was both dirty plays that should not be happening in the game of hockey. And you kind of saw that for some of the Panthers broadcasters who were a little bit biased with their calls. But yeah, so for me, it's the consistency. And then I think both players should have been suspended. They suspended the Lightning guys, but they did not suspend the Panthers guys. How you can not suspend somebody where Verhaeghe's hit put the guy on IR, by the way. The Lightning are going to have a couple injuries to start the season here. Nick Paul was already planned, but Gergensen is also out now on IR. So that's where my issue comes in. Again, I do not support what the Lightning did and the way they played some of the guys. They had a lot of bad hits and just did not play good hockey. But, you know, you have to suspend both sides. That's how it should work.
No, I mean, it exposed explicit bias via nepotism through what the league is doing. And I don't know that I like seeing the Lightning play the role of, just dirty, doing a dirty thing like that. But you
I'd
know
call
what?
It more Someone, vigilantism.
Yeah. That's a great way of putting it. But sometimes, you know, it's not the hero you want, it's the hero you need. And they went out and did something that it was completely undeniable. It's going to draw attention and say, hey, this is a real issue. We're not going to allow ourselves to be beat up like this and take it. So if you want to make a joke out of the game, we're right here to laugh along with you. You know, no longer being bullied around. I don't like the look personally, but something had to be done. And if it was this organization, you know what, so be it.
Yeah, again, you know, I'm not going to say that I don't like stooping down to the Panthers level. Like there's been a powder keg that has exploded long, long ago, and they're finally facing the repercussions. And I'm glad they're doing it in a game that does not matter. I don't think we're going to see this in the regular season. I bet game one that we play the Panthers, what is it, mid-November or something? Like, I can't imagine. Actually, you know what? No, never mind. I can't imagine. They have Sam Bennett and Aaron Ekblad and all the other goons that they have. But it's not going to be at the same level as this final preseason game. Going back to the Scott Sabourin suspension, that four games, is there anything that he did different than what AJ Greer did to Brandon Hagel? Is there anything different?
More of a comparison to the hit from last year from the Panthers, but
all I could say is that maybe he got the stick directly into the face, like directly hit him in the face with the stick when he tried to not in the initial contact, but when he basically punched him when he was kind of down, he started standing up and he came up, and that maybe he hit
Hagel
him.
Got sticked.
I'm yeah, you're right. Right before that, he got punched. He got sticked in the face. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's crazy. And there is one more suspension that should be handed out. I don't know if you guys know this. They're not going to do it. Of course they wouldn't. And Jake, you were also talking about the wheel of discipline, like, and asking for some consistency. No, that it's plenty consistent. I wish it was a wheel of discipline, because you would see a little bit of variation in punishment. You know, when it does land on the Panthers, you would see something else. But no, unfortunately, we do have some consistency with that. But jokes aside, there is another 10-game suspension that should be handed out. That I guess, you know,
yeah. Can't say I've ever seen this in a hockey game before in my entire life.
I have seen, or okay, not this specifically, but yeah, Nico Mikkola, I'll be waiting on his 10-game suspension because he was ejected from the game and then came out and played a couple more shifts and got an assist on a goal that was eventually removed. But once you're ejected from a game and you step back on that surface, that is an automatic, unappealable 10-game suspension. Unappealable, automatic. You don't get a hearing. It's 10 games.
Is it really?
Yeah, absolutely. Paul Bissonnette, actually, he got his appeal, but he got a 10-gamer in preseason as well. So don't say, oh, it's preseason. Maybe they don't enforce it that same
way. At the very, very least, I can understand them addressing it and saying we're not going to give you a 10-game suspension because of the fact that there were so many penalty minutes that maybe the information wasn't disseminated properly. He thought maybe he only got a 10-minute because there was so much handed out. But no, it was brushed under the rug and never discussed, as far as I can ever find, from the NHL proper.
Yeah, that is definitely a weird situation to have, but I, you know, again, and this is preseason. Matt was mentioning that he doesn't think this is going to continue heading into the regular season. I do expect this to continue. I don't see this slowing down anytime soon until somebody does something about it. I don't think it's going to change. I think the Battle of Florida is going to be as hot as it can be until you see that. Now, the refs did a better job handing out the game misconducts in the second game when they realized they knew this was going to get out of hand right away. They did not get a handle on that first game against the Panthers. With all that said, with all those suspensions.
Well, the third. You mean the third?
Well, they handed out all of the all of the things, the suspensions in – sorry, I'm trying to do two things at once here. Welcome back, Matt. Hey. He got suspended for a game. The game two against the Panthers, which was the one in Orlando, that one they did not hand out any games.
Wasn't it Orlando, then Tampa, then
– Correct. Sorry, yes, the game in Tampa.
I know, it's confusing. Orlando. Why would you play the same team that you've got a history with three freaking times in the preseason? I bet you they never do that again.
In a row.
I think – did they not do – they tend to do stuff like this in the preseason where you play a lot of teams the same way.
It's
I think
convenient.
Year, but I can't remember. But, yeah, so the one in Tampa, they did not hand out all of the game misconducts, but they quickly started doing that in the second game. Matt, I was just saying that I think this will continue in the regular season. I do not see it stopping anytime soon. Maybe the Lightning tone back a little bit after some of the suspensions, but
real quick, can you go to chat here? Dan is saying that the Department of Panther Safety, Cooper and the Lightning fined. Have you guys seen that yet? I haven't seen this.
I have not seen anything.
By the way, that's hilarious. They call it the Department of Panther Safety. That's too good.
Call a spade a spade.
I have not seen Cooper and the Lightning getting fined. I have not seen that yet. Unless it just came out. But
yeah, I'm not seeing anything on their Twitter. But that could just be from the league and not player safety. I know sometimes they do that differently when they're doing it to coaches or teams. So
The NHL has fined Tampa Bay Lightning 100. This is according to Frank Saravalli. NHL has fined Tampa Bay Lightning $100,000 and John Cooper personally $25,000 for their actions culminating in the events thereof, their preseason game against Florida. The fine levied by the NHL Hockey Operations Department.
Oh, who runs
goes
that?
Goes to charitable causes. Holy crap, dude. What did I tell you? What did I tell you? Oh my God!
They really did.
Dan just saw it minutes ago. Oh, this has a whole. Like I said, it's layered deep. It blows my mind. It blows my mind, and I love the fact that if you go on like the Spit and Chicklets Instagram page, or if you go on Reddit, was it r/NHL? If you go on any forum, any online group, you'll see basically everybody just hating on the Panthers because they understand what this was and how ridiculous. Oh my God, I can't.
Well, I'm looking at the replies to this tweet. Here's an Edmonton fan with the Department of Player Safety logo that they put the Panthers logo in. Here's a Blues account that's saying something about it. Yeah, no, it's definitely it's not. And again, listen, if they had fined both teams for their actions, the fine is crazy, but if they had fined both teams, I could understand it. I really could. But the fact that they are giving all these suspensions and fines and to just the Lightning, that's what gets me. Again, I do not like what the Lightning did. I thought a lot of the hits were very bad, but how can you do all this stuff to just the Lightning and not the Panthers? Here's Chicago Blackhawks fans saying that they're making the Florida Panthers into the Kansas City Chiefs of the NHL. It's insane to and go watch that Verhaeghe hit. I mean, it's the same thing as the Moser hit. So that's just bad. I did not see the fine. That's new as of just.
Well, all right. So look, if anything, you know, that has come out of this, it's completely, completely exposing the NHL and their bias that, you know, a lot of people have been calling out for quite a while. This makes it completely undeniable. There's no hiding from it. And if there ever was going to be a team that has an asterisk on their cup wins, now I think the Florida Panthers, you know, really deserve it more over than bubble cups.
I love the
Nepo cups.
Ooh, I like that. Yeah, that's crazy. I can't even begin. I'm still formulating my thought. I love that it came directly from Colin Campbell as well. Directly from him.
I love you calling him Colin.
That's his name, is Colin Campbell. It's not Colin.
It's not Colin. It's pronounced Colin.
Yeah.
Dude's so full of shit, it's in his name.
Well, it'll certainly be interesting to see how things play out in regular season and whether these fines do anything. By the way, John Cooper, which quietly signed an extension with the Lightning to stay as the head coach, which also is another really
weird thing. Thank God he can afford it then.
That's another weird thing, too, while we're talking about weird things going on in the NHL, is I can't remember the last time a coach signed an extension with a team and they just didn't announce it, especially after all the talk that went on last year. And listen, we knew as Lightning fans that he wasn't going anywhere. That was never going to happen. But it was kind of weird to me that they did it quietly. But Cooper not going anywhere and is the coach for the Tampa Bay Lightning.
He doesn't crave the media spotlight like Paul Maurice does.
It's nice for a team to do an announcement or something. It was just interesting that they didn't announce it publicly, but he did sign an extension, so there is that.
There was the details didn't come out though, right?
No coach details are kind of hard to get.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Quick, do a couple of comments here. Appreciate everybody joining in the conversation here. Don't forget, if you're here with us live, you can drop a comment down below. We'd love to hear what you guys have to say. If you're watching this after a fact, don't forget to like and subscribe. Ring that bell for notifications so you do know when we go live. Lisa says the fuse has been lit. This isn't the last of this. No way. I agree, Lisa. I think this is going to keep going. I hope not, because I don't want to see more guys get suspended and hurt.
I think it's going to keep going, but I think this is going to be one of those things where you get rally from other teams.
Yeah, I mean, the old, what you learn in history, the World War I powder keg, the assassination of Archduke Franz Ferdinand. Was that A.J. Greer on Hagel, or was it the Ekblad elbow to the face? Like, again, teams are taking notice. They've been put on notice. I hope that there is more repercussion to follow for 82 games this season. I'm not hoping for injury or anything, but teams are not going to – they're on a list now. They're on a bad, bad boy list.
Another comment here from Daniel asking, and I'm assuming you're referring to Cooper here, did Cooper sign a McDavid type of deal? Which, for those that don't know, McDavid did just – is it official that he re-signed, or was it just expected?
Yeah, it's 12 by 2.
It's official? Okay.
Or 12 and a half by 2.
And he's out the door in 2 years if they don't win. I don't believe that would be that kind of situation. I think Cooper is – here to stay and here to stay for a long time. So again, we don't know what the details are, so I don't know if it is like a McDavid deal, but I expect Cooper to be here for the considerable future until he doesn't want to coach anymore or doesn't want to be here, either one of those.
I pretty much agree with that. I mean, he's kind of done it, been there and done that, and loves where he lives. He loves the area. He doesn't really have too much more to prove, so you know, where else is he gonna go if he loves the organization and he still feels like there's a chance to win? And I don't think that 2 years is, you know, well, maybe, you know, maybe if the window closes in 2 years, you know, that he'd be interested in trying to move on to something else, but I think he's got a good situation, man.
I think he could also be a candidate for a GM one day. I mean, he's so good of a coach, but like, I think his dream was to always be a GM and ended up coaching. Like, again, he kind of fell upwards into his position and became one of the best to ever do it. But, you know, he went to school for he's a lawyer, and a lot of GMs, you know, go to law school and start out as agents, kind of like Cooper did. I don't know if he was ever an agent, but that could also be something. But what I crave is that he never works for another team again and joins like a national broadcast or something. When he does do, you know, the TNT panel, oh, he's great on there. He's such a pleasure to watch, even, you know, unbiased. I want Coop to be on a panel one day. That'd be great. Him and Gretzky or something. Whew.
I don't expect Cooper to be going anywhere anytime soon. And maybe they kept some of these details quiet because, like you said, Matt, they Cooper did get a lot of questions about him leaving when they started to report that. So maybe they wanted to keep it quiet so that doesn't happen again and he can take that attention away. But, again, I expect Cooper to be here for a long time. So
Dan's follow-up comment actually makes a whole heck of a lot of sense.
I mean, I'm not – on the same page there. I don't think it matters what the deal was. I think it's more of a maybe potentially they just want to keep it quiet for whatever
reason. If it's a two-year deal, that's a really good reason to keep it quiet.
Did we know the details of his last deal? Again, coach contracts are kind of hard to find. Like, they don't have to release them publicly. Some people do, some people don't. Like, it's not the you'd hear rumblings that it's being worked out.
They'll make an announcement of like, hey, our coach signed an extension. And then maybe down the road, one of the reporters will announce like how many years it is. But yes, Matt, you're right. It's usually very hard to find these kinds of details.
Because none of us knew that his, at least I didn't know. We've never talked about his deal expiring, what, at the end of this year? Or was it coming into this year or something? Or I guess, yeah, probably at the end of this year. So at least I didn't know about it. It wasn't a talking point for me. So maybe it's another long-term deal. Maybe it's, you know what, year by year. As long as you want to do it, Coop, we'll have you.
Whatever it is, I hope it's he's here to stay for a long, long, long time. Yeah, I know, Dan. Me and you are just always not on the same page. Never, ever. Listen, I'm not on the same page with these guys even too a lot of the time, so don't feel too bad. I mean, you could be right. You know, at the end of the day, we just don't know because they haven't said anything, which again is a little weird that they haven't even made a post about it, but it was reported they did sign an extension. So whatever it is, the bottom line is Cooper is not going anywhere for – at least another year, right? So extension at the very least has to be another year. So at the very least, it's 1 year, which is good to know. So, all right, we talked a lot about the Lightning and the Panthers here, the suspensions and all that madness, but we should talk about, I think, as well, the rest of the preseason, because at the end of the day, guys, the Lightning went 6-1 in the preseason. And I think there was a lot to be impressed with from this Lightning team in the preseason. Cooper said he thought this was one of the best prospect groups that they've had in a long, long time, which is saying a lot, I think, especially when the Lightning don't have a lot of top picks because, of course, they've traded them to go and win Stanley Cups. And now record doesn't mean everything. Obviously, you can go undefeated in the preseason and then lose a ton of games and not make the playoffs. But I was very impressed with the Lightning did in this preseason, minus that last game. Everything else I thought was really good, and there was not a lot of negativity for me in this preseason.
No, I mean, it was a great preseason to watch. Again, you know, we went into this saying, you know, it's preseason, take everything with a grain of salt, but it's hard not to be optimistic coming out of, you know, 5 of 7 of these games or 6 of 7 of these games that, you know, you have a really good team. It's boosted a lot of, you know, league-wide rankings of the Lightning, and it's put some faith back into me of, you know, some of the prospects we have. Again, it wasn't, you know, you don't have a Michael Misa or a Ivan Demidov coming up anytime soon, but you know, the things we saw from Dominic James and Max Crozier, who actually made the opening night roster, like it's heartening to see what some of these young guys can do and will do for this team, even going into those two rougher games, like these guys that will stick up and get scrappy and also make plays and put goals in the back of the net. A lot of it was our regular NHLers too, but it's hard not to be happy, you know, going 6-1 in the preseason.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of different line combinations that they're playing with. We obviously didn't have our big guns out there for too much because we had enough depth to be able to try some new things out. Geeky, is such a good goal scorer. I really just hope that he can develop the rest of his game. You know, I think it was like the last podcast I told everyone watching to pay a little bit of attention to Geeky, and not just the fact that he can score these amazing goals, but look at some of the weaknesses in his game. And those seem to still persist. I mean, that's obviously, you're not going to clean stuff up in two or three games, but to me, they're kind of glaringly obvious where it's going to be tough come regular season for him to slot into a top six role. Maybe it's one of those scenarios where if he plays some of the grittier minutes in the bottom six, that he can clean up some of his play. Like, he doesn't usually come up with a 50-50 puck, for instance. There's anytime a puck's kind of bouncing around him, he loses his positioning to other guys that are a little bit more solid on it. Defensively, just isn't as strong as some of the other players, but he has such tremendous upside that he displayed that very clearly in the preseason. So I got a lot of hope for him. He just needs to up his game. But then you look at other guys, Chafee just continues to impress. Goncalves just continues to impress. And then we've seen a bunch of different opportunities for our prospective defensemen that all look fairly serviceable. So there's a lot of really great things that we saw come out of camp, and then you see the overall number of wins with that squad. I mean, really goal differential more than the win itself. The win's not truly that important. The team looks pretty good. Looks pretty deep.
Yeah, there were so many guys. I think there's a shorter list of who did not impress me or some of the things that they did wrong than the list of what they did right. Bevin brings up, you know, Dominic James, who had 27 minutes on Saturday night. Granted, a lot of players were not playing by that point. But, yeah, Jet shows the trust from Cooper that he would just kind of leave him out there basically the entire third period. He was really good. Aberzizis, he was – I believe I'm saying that right. He was really good. Also, his first name is Woj. I don't know how to say his last name yet. I don't
Stachowiak.
There you go. Thank you. I don't think Dave Randolph has even figured out how to say his last name quite yet either, but he was really good. So there was a lot of impressive things. I thought they played just good hockey. And, you know, again, it's preseason. We saw what happened with – I'm blanking on the name. Who was it that got traded halfway through the season for the Lightning? Former Lightning player, Nemestikov.
Nemestikov
yeah. Scored, what, like six goals in the preseason and then did not have a good year. So just because you have success in the preseason doesn't mean it's going to translate, but at the very least, it's still great to see. And that's what we have to go off right now. And you know, it's better than seeing the Lightning play terrible in the preseason, having to sit here and go, well, it's just preseason. That doesn't always translate. So I was very happy with what they did in these first seven games. We'll see how things translate into the regular season.
Yeah.
Let's talk about now going ahead and looking into that regular season here for the Lightning. We got the opening night roster. Matt, you kind of alluded that to earlier. So I don't want to say a ton of surprises when it comes to this roster. Listen, we all kind of knew what to expect. We knew that it was going to be the one big roster spot was Nick Paul because he was on injured reserve and he was going to be out for a little bit. But there are a couple of things to note. Gergensen is on IR to start the year. So that opens up another spot. Jack Finley and Gage Gonsalves, they're the two big names. And maybe Connor Geeky, you want to throw him in there too, that didn't make the roster. Matt, you alluded to Curtis Douglas earlier as well. He is on the opening night roster for the forwards. And then for defense, you do have Max Crozier, who cracked the opening night roster. And then here's the weirdest one for me, and I still haven't figured out quite what the Lightning's plan is here. But we have three goaltenders on the opening night roster in Phoenix Copley, Jonas Johansson, and Andre Vasilevsky. Let's start with the goaltenders. Guys, what's your take here with three goalies on the opening night roster? Because this one, to me, is the weirdest.
Not gonna talk about it. Nope, there's not enough. There's not enough wood I can knock on to discuss that three goalie situation. You guys feel free, but I'm abstaining.
Phoenix Copley is a serviceable backup goaltender. I mean, he was a starter in L.A. Like, he was good in Washington. If JoJo gets a little shaky or if he deals with some injuries like he did last year, you've got a really solid backup instead of Matt Tompkins or something, who played well in his you know, sheltered role, but you give a little bit more relief to Vasilevsky. I'm knocking on wood, too. You know, it's been an interesting couple weeks for him. So I hope it's just a precautionary measure and not an omen or anything, but I think it's a good signing. Again, very serviceable goaltender. I don't know why he was waived. I know who's at LA. They've got some depth at goal. So
let's go with that it has to do more with JoJo. Because he was picked up off of waivers, I think he has to make the roster right now, right? They don't really have too much of a choice, otherwise they expose him again.
Don't know the exact rules and how that all works because it gets so darn complicated. But I wanted to bring it up because I know a lot of people were concerned about Vasilevsky, and everybody said once Copley was cleaned off waivers that Vasilevsky's out, you're going to be out for a long time. But I have no reason not to trust the Lightning organization because of all the great things that they've done over the years and John Cooper and the trust that he's built in this organization. So he has maintained that Vasilevsky was going to come back at practice on Monday, which he did. He has said that he's going to be ready to go for opening night, and he played in that last preseason game. So I don't think there's any major issues with Vasilevsky. I expect him ready to go for opening night. Now, is he 100%? Who knows? And the Lightning have talked about all the time. No, they've said this every single year that they want to hold Vasilevsky back a little bit and not make him play 60 games a season. And JBB also did mention that the reason the Lightning got Copley was to help with their goaltender depth. I believe they only have three other goaltenders in the minors on their roster. So I do think this is to help out with their goaltender depth. Now, again, I don't know how waivers work. If there's a point they can send him down, I think he has to go through waivers no matter what at some
point. You'd have to clear waivers to get sent down at all. So maybe the issue is that they don't fully trust Johansson. And, I mean, we've talked about that in the past. You know, I think that there's some people that absolutely hate him, right? There's a lot of critics of him. I think he's held enough of his own to be okay on the team personally. But if they feel like they've got some issues with him, and maybe they saw something in preseason that we didn't, obviously from this standpoint, it's not you're like Jake, you're saying that you trust what the organization is doing. Of course. So, you know, they've got way more information at this point. We're just kind of guessing as to what they're doing. And, I guess, I mean, it does make sense for it to maybe be a JoJo thing.
And you're right, Joe. We don't know. We're guessing here. But my point was to bring it up, too, is that I don't think just because Copley is here doesn't mean it guarantees that Vasilevsky is hurt and is going to miss a bunch of time. I think there really is some truth to them adding their goaltender depth. And maybe they really do finally want to hold Vasilevsky back a little bit, which could be good. But I'm sure we'll learn more as the season goes on. So, moving on from the goaltenders and the rest of the roster, were there any other surprises to you guys that made this roster? Again, to me, I don't think there was too many. I'm excited to see what Gonsalves Finley can do at the start of the year here, and congratulations to those guys that did make the roster.
I'm a little upset, but it makes sense that Dominic James didn't. I mean, he really impressed me. I thought he was, you know, shot out of a cannon for every single shift that he did play. That don't take anything from that seventh game of the preseason. You know, there was no intent to win that game even a little bit. But every other game that he did play, you know, Dave Randorf, he was, you know, extremely loving of him. Brian Engblom as well. I'm not trying to just be their echo chamber, but I thought he was fantastic. Hopefully he'll get a shot in the near future, you know, give him some time in the oven in the AHL, and maybe he comes back, comes up a even better player. So I'm not necessarily surprised, but I'd like to see him in the future. What's his name? The guy we just picked up today, Curtis Douglas. Did he make that roster? I thought I saw he did, which is a bit of an interesting one. Like,
yes,
again,
he did. He's on the open night roster.
He's what? 6'8", 6'9". Like he's a big boy, full on enforcer. You know, can't imagine, you know, needing him until November something, you know, when you throw out the fourth line of Curtis Douglas, Scott Sabourin, and Jack Finley when we play the Panthers next. I mean, if that's what it is, man, I really love this. Again, I'm an old-time hockey style of guy, so I do like that move, but I can't imagine he's not going to be an everyday player. I don't think all three of those guys are, because again, you've got Nick Paul also coming back, what, mid-November as well. Keep him out until we play the Panthers.
The nice thing is that there are plenty of options, right? And then most of them are pretty big bodies as well. you know, they really did give Jack Finley a pretty good look. And maybe that's what they're doing with some of these other guys too, right? You know, allowing them for these opening night rosters to still almost treat it like a preseason, but a full dress rehearsal rather than, other practice squads. So either way, I mean, if the first 10 games aren't going to determine your entire season, so give these guys some reps, send them back down, and like they pretty much do this every season to start. So I don't see any real downside to it.
Beverly, to answer your question, he was a waiver pickup. So, yes, I believe it is the same situation for him when it comes to waivers. But it's nice for the Lightning to actually have depth at every single – like normally, you know, sometimes you'll have like six defensemen, maybe an extra forward or two, or you have one forward, one defenseman, especially with cap constraints. But the Lightning for once actually have a depth at forward, defense, and goaltender this time around. So we'll see how things change as the start of the regular season happens and these guys do get some game action. But that is our opening night roster for the Tampa Bay Lightning. All right, looking ahead, season outlook, guys. Give me what a successful season would look like to you guys for the Lightning this year. I know we always say this team is a team that's kind of expected to make the playoffs, but curious on your take here.
8-0 against the Panthers, and then I don't care.
Fair enough.
So you're assuming that we're going to see them in the postseason?
Actually, no, they're going to miss.
There really is a pretty decent chance that that they – could miss. They only need a couple more injuries to be a shell of a franchise.
Already got the two best players, yeah.
Yep. So, for me personally, I want to see a conference finals appearance at the very least for a team that has all the pedigree in the world to be able to get there. Should have the depth to do it as well, and has been so disappointing. Disappointing themselves, even the past couple of postseasons. I think there's going to be a lot of fight and fire lit under them come playoff time. And anything less than getting to the conference finals, I think, is going to be pretty bad. We'll be looked at very poorly by the organization internally. And then obviously your ultimate goal is to get to that final dance. But got to see those conference finals, man.
I'm actually right there with you, Joe. My goal is the conference finals at the very least. I should say this. At the very least, you have to win in the first round and get to that second round because of what's happened in the last couple of years. But my goal, ultimately, I'm with you, Joe, is the conference finals there for the Lightning this year. That would be a successful season for me. Now, the Lightning have said a lot of things here in the preseason. They definitely say they have a chip on their shoulder and that they really want to be a much better team than they have been in years past. Granted, you have to be able to put pen to paper. So we'll see what happens here throughout the regular season. But at the very least, they understand that they need to get past the first round and play some better hockey in the postseason. So let's jump to a comment or two here real quick. Beverly saying, I think that they get a chip on their shoulder before the last three games. Now watch out. Yeah, that's true. You know, with all the things that happened in the Panthers games, you know, maybe they really want to show what they can do and that they're, you know, one of the better teams in the NHL, and it's not the Florida Panthers. So that'll be interesting to see, especially those games.
Look at the comments of Cooch and of Vassy. I mean, those are some pretty brutal remarks. They really want to get in there.
Another comment here from Dan saying there's been a lot of analysts talking highly about Tampa this offseason. Has the depth really improved from last season?
No Connor Sherry.
He actually just signed a deal today. He was on a PTO and signed a deal with the New York Rangers.
Good for him. Great for us.
Their problem now.
Man, Connor Sherry, he is one of the top most hated Lightning players in history. It's funny because, again, on paper, I don't know if the depth really has improved that much. Preseason would say, yeah, the depth looks fantastic. But, we'll see in the regular season here. On paper,
Size and speed has definitely improved, without a doubt. And remember, something that helped us so much in those cup runs was getting size and speed at that trade deadline with Coleman wasn't that tall, right? Coleman
no, was he was kind of a shorter guy.
6 foot, but
he played big.
Yeah, but he was fast and just murderous when it came to the forecheck, and that was a really good spot. And Goodrow is a pretty big guy himself, so I think that's going to make a difference because we've had really slow players the past, maybe not as much last year, but the seasons before. So could make a big difference.
Again, have to put pen to paper, but certainly promising to start the season. All right, last thing before we get ready to wrap up here, Joe, I know you wanted to talk about some of the things around the league. We kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, but Connor McDavid, he did sign an extension with the Edmonton Oilers. There was a lot of talk about maybe him leaving, hanging into free agency this year, but he has officially signed an extension. What was it, 2 years? What was the 12.5. So,
which is a pretty friendly contract, considering he is a generational talent, and Kaprizov got what,
16 or 17?
So it's essentially, with you know, dumb hockey guy math, about 75% of the value of the highest contract, which no doubt he could have commanded being a much better player, and he wants to see his Oilers win. So that's a pretty big deal with allowing them to have more cap space to bring in some help.
Yeah, I'm torn between, you know, good on you, man. You didn't even take a raise. That's what you've been making for the last 7 years. And, you know, with the cap jumping up, hopefully Stan Bowman and the powers that be in Edmonton, like, I'm cheering for him to get a cup. I don't, you know, I hope it doesn't come at the Lightning's expense or anything, but I'm cheering for McDavid to get a cup. That'd be nice.
Yeah, famous last words, right?
Imagine we meet in the finals and another Florida team takes him down. Oh, that would be brutal. But torn between commending him and, dude, 12 and a half million. Like, I saw a stat that, like, last year with the cap jump that equates, or like 2 years ago, that equates to like 9.3 million.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And that was, if you remember, that was one of the things I was so critical about him for last year, is, or for the last time they signed, because it was a really, really heavy contract. And, like, no, if he wants to win, he takes something friendly for his team, and he's a team player, does what the guys at the Lightning have done, and it looks like he did it this time. It's basically a bridge, right? 2 years. They got 2 years to make it happen, or he's going to go seek some serious money. This year, and then and then two more. So, I love it. Good on him, man. I have a ton of respect for that.
You know what Connor McDavid can do with all that new money? He can go on a shopping spree at shop.rblrsports.com and use code BOLTS to get 10% off your order as well. Don't forget, guys, Lightning, Bucks, Rays, Rowdy, Sun, team-inspired merch. We have it for you over on shop.rblrsports.com. It's a great time to stock up for the season, so you got plenty of Lightning gear to rip the Bolts this year. Links, as always, are in the description, so be sure to go check it out. You guys get an awesome t-shirt. It really helps us out here on the channel, so if you want to go and support our show, be sure to go check out the awesome merchandise over there as well. Good for Edmonton. I have McDavid back. Listen, at the end of the day, I think all that matters is how the Lightning and their specific players perform. And if they are able to play like they have, you know, not in the last 2-3 years, but before that, I think they can compete with anybody, no question about that. Maybe I'm a little too biased on that, but that's where I sit at right now with that. Any other things you guys wanted to hit on with the division here for the league? I know you guys wanted to talk about what else is going around the league.
Yeah, absolutely. If you guys follow moneypuck.com, they usually do predictions for the league. One of the things they always have is like that notorious wheel that shows every single team and their predictions of who's going to make each round and dwindling it down to who will win the cup and with how many points. And it's a lot of familiar faces that they have this year. And, you know, since we spoke so much on Edmonton, they actually have them with the highest odds to make the playoffs, at 92.4%. Obviously, that additional 7.6% is really more about an injury or three than anything else, with a 9.3% to win the cup. And then you also have up on this list, I'll just read off the top, let's say eight, Edmonton, then Vegas, Colorado, Dallas. So the top four are, the top four are all in the, so they do that by who's going to make the playoffs. Let me do the cup odds. I sorted wrong. So Edmonton first, then Carolina second for percentage to win the cup, then Vegas, Colorado, then our Tampa Bay Lightning, Dallas is on there, then the Devils. After that is Florida, Winnipeg, Toronto, Ottawa, with falling down the rankings there. But the fact that the Panthers aren't ranked that highly is very notable, and that we are in the fifth spot before the season has even started. There's a lot of changes going on in the league.
There's not much I disagree with that. Like I do expect Toronto to have a pretty good year. There's no reason why they shouldn't be division winners. They've got a really deep team. It's sad that, you know, I hate the Panthers so much that I'm talking good about Toronto, but I think maybe second in the Atlantic is probably where the Lightning end up. You know, playoffs, you know, who knows what will happen then, but there's a lot of good teams. The Atlantic Division is super stacked as well, so anything could happen. I'm still maybe not predicting, but the Panthers, they might do what they've done the last couple of years and just limp into the playoffs and then behead everyone once they get in there, literally. But I like these odds. I think they're pretty accurate to be, you know, fifth, you know, by a very analytics-driven site. I'd say they know puck.
You know, at the end of the day, it's always so tough to predict what's going to happen because you just don't know, especially when it comes to injuries and what could happen throughout the season. Any surprise guys that come up, the trade deadline, it always shakes things up a ton. So, I think the Lightning are going to make the postseason. I don't think there's really much of a question about that, barring any injuries. There is a question here from Dan asking, any surprise teams in the division to make the playoffs? Here's what I'll give you. I really don't know. I don't think there's any crazy surprises that I could give you. The only chance I see is the Panthers missing the playoffs just because of the injuries that they are dealing with. I think that's going to have a major effect on them. So that's the one team I could see changing. But other than that, it's, you know, again, just make the postseason.
There are some strong pushes by, it's pretty much an irrelevant push, but by the Montreal at the end of last season. They strung together a series of games and were playing pretty hot at the end. Not that they can necessarily continue it. I haven't looked at their roster depth or anything, but they were surprisingly good at the end of last season. Obviously, too little, too late. And then, you know, Ottawa is one of those teams. They have them ranked right here, just barely below Toronto, essentially. So, you know, maybe they could be a surprise as well.
I'm going, and this is not the Atlantic. I don't know if that was part of the parameters, but the Ducks find their way back into the playoffs for the first time since 2018. Alex Killorn is going to drag them into the playoffs. I mean, they've got a bit of an old team, but a bit of a young team. But I think their talent, I think a lot of their stars are going to start to have some minor breakout years and just get it done by the power of friendship. Their goalie, Lucas Dostal, he's really good. I'm a believer in Dostal. You know, they got a lot of their core young guys signed some long, very cheap extensions. So I think the Ducks make a surprise. Again, the Pacific is unarguably the weakest division, maybe the Metro. But
I'm going to put you on the spot. Here, do you have any idea if they're spending to the cap, if they're anywhere even remotely close?
I don't think they're even near.
Yeah, so I mean that could be something. If they show up, then they shell out.
Yeah, maybe. That's my bold take.
It's going to be a fun season. That's all I know. I'm looking forward to it. I'm ready to go this regular season. We've got some big events this year in the outdoor game for the Lightning on Gasparilla weekend. We've got the Olympics this year. There's so much to look forward to. We will have it all here covered for you guys as we continue to learn more information and all that news comes out. I know I'm thrilled for it. I know these guys are thrilled forward to it. But the regular season getting underway for the NHL on Wednesday, if I'm not mistaken. Am I correct on that?
I thought the Panthers might even be tomorrow. Playing on Tuesday.
I think it's tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, it is October 7th.
So NHL hockey back. I think they have a triple header. Those triple headers at the Times is always so weird. But Lightning, at least, they'll get their season underway on Thursday. We will be here, of course, again, but hopefully we're going to try for every Monday, although sometimes things change. But recapping it all here for you guys. So don't forget to like and subscribe on the YouTube channel. Hit that ring that bell for notifications. Hit that share button if you did enjoy this video. It really helps us out. We really do appreciate it. Thank you to everybody who tuned in with us live today and joined that conversation. Don't forget to hang out with us here live if you want to be able to talk Lightning hockey with us during the season. But with that said, we'll see you guys in the next one. Go Bolts!
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, Please remember to like and subscribe.